Thank you for taking the ride on the Freedom Train podcast series. I'm your host, Joseph Ward, and as always, riding with me is my good friend, Mr. Patrick Irvin. Remember, the Freedom Train is brought to you by PAX Inc. That's PACTSINC. And PAX Inc. is a black development organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with the traits of hard work, honesty, and integrity. And for more information, make sure you visit www.pactsinc.org. That way you can learn more about the organization, the members of the organization, and their mission that they have to help the black community. Also, while you're online, as you know, make sure you visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com. That way you can learn more about the Freedom Train. Myself, Joseph Ward, Patrick, our Tea Time Show, our Office Hour Show, and just everything we have going on. And just a reminder about our weekly lineup. Every Monday, you will get the Fix Sports Podcast, which is available on our website as well as iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Every Wednesday, you get the Freedom Train podcast series, as well as the live showing of Office Hours with Professor Carlton Jones and Erica Tobin. Every Thursday, you get Lessons from the Screen with Patrick Irvin. Every Friday, you get the podcast of Office Hours with Professor Carlton Jones and Erica Tobin. Every Saturday, you get the Tea Time Black Women Talk podcast, as well as the On the Shoulders of Giants podcast. And remember, all of our shows are available on our website, www.freedomtrainradio.com, as well as iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. You can follow us on our social media websites. You can follow us on Instagram at Freedom Train Network. Follow us on Twitter at Freedom Train Net. Like our Facebook page, our Freedom Train Facebook page. Subscribe to us on YouTube, as well as what else do we have? What other social media network? I think that's it. I think that's all you can follow us on. So make sure you connect with the Freedom Train. So, Pat, what's going on, man? How you doing today?
Man, you got to shorten that. You need a checklist and just tell people, hey, man, go to the checklist and start checking stuff off.
There it is. Just follow us.
Yeah.
Follow us everywhere. Everywhere. How you doing today, man?
I'm doing good, man.
Okay.
I'm alive, you know, and it don't get much better than that, I hope.
Hey, man, it could, but, you know, we don't know how, but it could, I think. I don't know.
What's
I'm
better
just
than
saying.
Being alive?
Being extra alive, living while you're alive. There you go. There you go.
That's going to be my first question to our guests.
So, but get your pen and pad out today, though. You want to get your pen and pad out today, especially if you are an aspiring author or a speaker, or you are somebody who you have a dream, you have a goal, and you're looking for some inspiration. This is going to be that type of show. So you want to get your pen and your pad out, because today on our show, we have Miss Melanie Bonita. And before we bring her on and we get more into her, I want to give you a little background information about her. So Miss Melanie Bonita is a number one Amazon best-selling author of 6 books, an award-winning international inspirational speaker, marketing coach, and United States Army veteran. She's on a mission to help people get more determined, dedicated, and driven to achieve their dreams and destiny. Her Daily Dose series shows others how to maximize their life and achieve their dreams by using daily strategies to get there. She has spoken on the same stage with industry greats such as Les Brown, Willie Jolly, and George Frazier, just to name a few. She has also helped over 150 authors become Amazon best-selling authors. And once again, I want people to get up off their feet and put your hands together for Miss Melanie Bonita. How you doing, Miss Melanie? How you doing?
I'm absolutely amazing. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh, no problem, no problem. Thank you for being on our show with us today, and we're definitely looking forward to learning from you from all your years of experience and everything that you have been bringing to the table as far as a speaker, an author, a coach, and just a general person, and you have a personal testimony that you have given the world that has helped with everything that you've been given. So I'm definitely glad to have you on our show today.
Well, I'm excited to be here. Definitely excited to be here.
Yes, ma'am. So, Pat, you know, you got the first question. Let's go ahead and kick it off.
I got two questions, a two-part question.
Okay.
The first part is there anything better than being alive? And I got to ask that because I ain't no liar.
Okay.
The second question is Benita really your last name?
You know what? Those questions were not on the list, but I will certainly most answer them. That is funny, and you're not the first person I asked that. So, the first question, yes, the only thing that's better being alive is being alive and being black and sage, praise the Lord.
Ooh,
because I would hate to see somebody alive and then die in hell. I mean, die when, you know, go to hell when they die. So that's the answer to the first question, and the answer to the second question is absolutely not. Bonita is not my real last name, but Bonita is my real name. So my name is Melanie Bonita Kelly. So Bonita is my middle name. So it is my legal name, and it's on my driver's license and passport and on all my documents. But when I was working on my first book and my website and my brand, my web person said, well, what are you going to get for your website? And I said, you know what? I don't want it to be Kelly because I don't want to become famous with my ex-husband's last name. And I know, right, because I'm always looking to my future and looking, preparing for my future. So when I get married again to that amazing godly man that God has for me, I don't want to have to hyphenate it, or I don't want to have to, you know, just, I just didn't want to. I mean, I got divorced probably over 20-something years ago. So, well, definitely, well, over 20-something years, over 25 years ago. So, but, you know, in the interim, you know, when you have all, you know, you have property and you have all these documents, and it's just, you know, men, you all don't have to deal with that. But it's a lot to change your name. So... So I made a decision and a conference, you know, an effort to just really say, you know what, let me do something different. And so she said, what is your middle name? And when I told her, she was like, oh, that's perfect. It has a nice ring, you know, and it means, you know, beautiful in Spanish. You know, people, you know, be drawn to it. And she was right. People never say my first name. They always say Melanie Bonita. So, no, Melanie Bonita is my middle name that was given to me. By my father. I think he has a thing for Spanish women, but that's another story. You know, but anyway. but yes, my middle name is, and I'm not of any Spanish origin that I know of. I know my father is Jamaican, and my, you know, I guess you have some Costa Rican in me, but no, I'm not of Latino heritage that I know of. But yes, it is. My middle name is.
No, I like that. I've never met a person with that being like a real part of their name before, but I like it.
Right. Now that's good
okay.
stuff.
Okay. Yes, well, man. Thank
so,
you.
So I want to ask this. Miss Melanie Bonita is you presenting yourself to the world, because I know when I first saw you on Facebook, it was a while back, it just looked like you just had all your stuff together, and like you were just, like you were just out here just doing things. So can you tell our audience, give our audience a little more background information about who you are and what inspired you to want to be an inspiration to others?
Sure, absolutely. I would say the main thing that inspired me to want to be an inspiration is, and just really obeying God, just really giving hope to a world that seems hopeless. You know, looking at people living their lives miserably, not having what they want, not believing, one, that they can have what they want and live their dreams. And I've always been, you know, a positive person, you know, started writing goals and dreams a long time ago, you know, when I was like a teenager, which is, you know, really interesting because I was actually a teenage mother. I had my daughter when I was 16. I got pregnant when I was 15 and, you know, I had my daughter when I was 16. And I got married when I was 18, separated at 19, and divorced by the time I was 20. So it didn't sound like I had a good start. But even though it didn't sound like I had a good start, I always was very goal-driven, very motivated, very, you know, just high energy. And I think, you know, I got a lot of that from my mother, I believe. But so I would say just really looking at people's lives, and I've seen people go from nothing to, you know, having multi-millions, even billions. So I'm like, if they can do it, why can't anyone do it? So when I, you know, encounter people that are not inspired, you know, it's just a passion of mine. I think it's just something that came naturally. And I think it was, you know, really a God-given gift that was put in me from just wanting to please God.
Okay. Okay.
And wanting people to live their best life.
Yeah, it's always refreshing to meet people that want to see others succeed, because you always are bombarded with the information and messages of people talking about others who hating on them and all these things. And so it's always refreshing to get around and be around people who are genuinely out there rooting for others to win and actually even potentially helping people win. So that's great.
Mm-hmm. And it's great to meet somebody else that was a part of the Married Young Divorced Young club, because I'm also a member of that club. Joe is a hater, and he's not
Whatever.
A member of that club, but we won't hold that against him.
Well, I got to be all that.
You know what, Joe? This is about her, not about you. Don't try to make it.
Whatever.
So, anyways, you dropped 6 books on them, and I'm looking at all 6 of them right now on Amazon. And Daily Dose of Determination. Well,
yes,
you know,
that was my first one. That was my baby.
What is that about? And what was your overall, like, what drove you to start that?
Well, Daily Dose of Determination is about helping people get more determined, dedicated, and driven to achieve their dreams and destiny. So it's a 90-day daily devotional. So each day for 90 days, you get inspiration, but you also get some action steps to help you move forward towards your dreams. And to be honest with you, what drove me to do it was really obedience from God. I mean, I remember it was like it was yesterday. It was February 14th. 2011, you know, February 14th is Valentine's Day. I'm, you know, sitting alone by myself again. I'm like, Lord, what is going on? You know, before that in October, I was engaged to get married to this amazing, you know, man of God. And, you know, his pastor told him I wasn't his wife. So here I am on February 14th, single again. And I'm like, God, I've been living for you. I've been obeying you, doing what you need me to do. Why is it that I am not, you know, married? Why is it that, you know, I've been celibate since 1999, you know, just really, like I said, just really trying to live for God. And so, well, not even trying, just really living for God and doing whatever he needed me to do. And so that night, I communed with God. I had a, you know, just fellowship with him, had dinner with him, because I just don't believe in compromising and just, you know, dating, just to be hanging out with people just to do it. You know, I don't have time to give men my time, energy, and effort or money, because that's not just a part of the plan. I have 100 books to write. I don't have time to be, you know, just out there. You know, because some people do. They date, or, you know, they don't want to be alone on Valentine's Day. So they just hang out with people just to hang out with people, not, you know, because there's a purpose. I believe every relationship should have a purpose. Mm-hmm. And whatever the purpose God connected me to this person, that's what I need to focus on. So if it's to help someone with their book, you know, great. If it's to help someone, you know, with something else, but what is the purpose for me having this relationship with this person? And so that night, you know, I just had a heart-to-heart with God, and that's when he gave me the vision for 33 books in the Daily Dose series. He gave me titles for them. I wrote them all down. And the next day, I fasted and prayed. I was, you know, working at the Pentagon at the time, and I was working, oh my goodness, 10 to 12-hour shifts. I was working, you know, I was like an hour and a half commute each way. And so I didn't have a lot of time, but what I didn't do was I didn't make any excuses. And I fasted, and I prayed for 2 weeks. I shut everything down. No television, no telephone, no social media, nothing. But I wrote on my lunch break when I got home from work. I wrote on the weekends. I wrote, and 30 days later, my first book, Daily Dose of Determination, was completely written.
That's good. That's good.
So you hear what she said? I wanna draw your attention to something.
Go ahead.
She said she don't be hanging around with people just to be hanging around with people.
Wow.
Hey, you got to be around productive people.
I mean, seriously, I know a lot of people, you're wasting your time. It's like you have to be around your purpose-filled relationship. Am I going to learn something from this person? Is this person going to help take me to the next dimension, or am I supposed to help take them to the next dimension? It only takes one relationship, the right relationship, to take you from zero to your millions, okay?
Yeah.
And I'm very aware of that. I've seen it happen. So why would we hang around people that just want us to be mediocre, hang around people that want us to sit around and watch television when television's doing nothing but telling your vision, when you could be being productive, producing what God called you to create?
There you go.
So, yeah, so I'm real passionate about that. It's like we all have the same 24 hours in a day. Why is it some people more productive than others? When I look at some people and what they have, when their schedule and what they do, and it's like, man, just looking at what they do, it's like, you know, Steve Harvey, you know, he's not the most, for me, admirable man of God. However, he has some discipline traits that I think most people that want to start a business or even write a book should develop. And I mean, for him to have not only a radio show, but he hosts like two or three different three different TV shows. Just, you know, helping with kids, the youth. He has, you know, all these conferences. He has so many things going on. And so when people tell me they've been working on their book for 10 years and they haven't written it, I said, you're misallocating your time.
Right. That's the truth.
Doing something that you're not supposed to be doing. You have to remain focused and get it done. And so most people, when they tell me, I say, you tell me your schedule for 1 week, I could tell you what you're doing with your time. I could tell you what you should be doing and what you should. And I'm not saying don't have fun, don't live life, and don't enjoy life. Believe me, I have fun. I love to travel. Sometimes when I'm traveling for business, I have pleasure while I'm there. When I do a book signing or a speaking engagement on a cruise, I'm enjoying myself, too. And I go to the beach on a regular basis and write and read. And, you know, so some people look at my life and think, do you ever have fun? Yes, I have fun. Yes, but I have an understanding that my life was created with a purpose. And like one of my mentors from a distance, Dr. Miles Monroe, always put in me in his, and when I watch his YouTube videos, is that I cannot go to the grave with all of the things that God has put in me. I just can't.
There you go. I know people. I'm going to let you go ahead and answer your question, but I know people that have gone to the grave
with their books and them, with their businesses, with their dreams, and they died and released, and their children didn't carry on their legacy. So I'm like, no, I can't let it go to the grave with my stuff in me. So, yes.
Right. So also, you also have the Moments of Motivation book series. And that's, you know, I feel like it's a companion series with your Daily Doses. So was it some of the same energy that went into the Daily Doses that created the Moments of Motivation, or was it like something separate that caused you to want to write this particular book and this particular series and put it out?
The Moments of Motivation series was a little different, and it was actually a series put together so that God, he actually wanted me to show people how easy and effortlessly that they could release a book in less than 21 days.
Okay.
And so basically, you know, I put out motivational, like, tweets and things on Facebook. And, you know, I tell people all the time, you're giving away free content. You know, you already have. And that one girl, she used to write a book on Facebook every day. And I'm like, you haven't released your books yet, but you have about 10 books on Facebook. Copy and paste some of that content and put it in a blog or put it in your book. Some of the people that have blogs, put that content in a book. And so basically, Moments of Motivation is tweets. When I started tweeting years ago, and God said, said, take some of the content that you tweet and put it in a book, your original content that you tweet and put and show people that they already have content, that they have it. And so once you've done it, because I never like to tell people that they could do something that I haven't done. You know, people will say, oh, can you coach me on, you know, having a nonprofit? I said, no, I can direct you to someone because I've never had a nonprofit before, so I don't want to direct you on something that I haven't done. But I've written a book in less than, and published a book in less than 21 days using my content that I already have from social media. So if I can do it, you can do it too. And so it was just really a quick way to share people. And I've been posting some stuff recently, and I'm like, you know what, I need to put that in a book. But, yeah, just, you know, quick motivational quotes that, you know, people just need to be motivated and inspired. And so, like I say, people tell me all the time, you motivate me on social media all the time, and you never know who's watching. They may not ever like, comment, share, retweet, or anything, but people are watching, and it's, you know, people's lives are transformed. You know, one person told me that, you know, my book, Daily Determination, actually it kept them from committing suicide. You know, somebody said it brought them out of a depression. Same thing with my, you know, tweets and social media. So people are always watching. And so we can't just be on there, you know, telling what's going on or, oh, you know, my tooth hurt. Who cares? I mean, unless you want to position it and say, okay, can y'all keep me in prayer because I'm having some challenges with my tooth. Now, that's a different story. But if you're just posting general stuff, you know, just like I said about wasting time and hanging out with people, you know, use social media for productivity. You know, use it to save somebody's life. Use it to encourage and inspire someone. And so that's what Moments of Motivation really was about. It was just inspiring people through my tweets, and I just got them. And they have I'm going to share this as a secret. They have a app called tweetbook.in, and it will turn your last 1,500 tweets into a PDF document.
Wow. Tweetbook.in.
Yeah, so you don't even have to go back and copy and paste from Twitter because that could take a lot more time. But that PDF document that is putting it in, all you got to do is, you know, I copied and pasted in, you know, put it on a separate page and made the font bigger because, you know, when I'm doing book signings, I encounter a lot of senior citizens too say, oh, the font's too small. So I said, you know what, this book is going to be, you know, a larger font, and it's going to be quotes, and it's just going to inspire people that, you know. And so there's so many techniques and so many things you can use to capture your information. And so there's ways you could capture information from Facebook. So, you know, there's things you can do to capture content that you already have. So for those of you out there who want to release your book, no excuses. Come on, let's capture this. Use some content that you already have, your tweets, your Facebook posts, your, you know, your speaking engagement, you know, speaking, have it transcribed, whatever. There's too many ways that you can release a book.
Right. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. The stuff is automated, digital, all these little different formats that you're speaking of. So definitely,
right.
definitely. Yes, man.
Unless they not meant to write a book and they just jawjacking the Jack Jaws.
But then they wait,
I believe everybody has a book in them, you know, whether it's their story, whether it's somebody else's story. It could be like one of my clients, she just wrote a book about her mother. It was her mother's story. And I have another person, a mentor that I'm working with, and he's dedicated his book to his mother. So, like, the first, 6, 7, 8 pages of his book, you know, is his mother's story, you know, and how she was a teenage mother and how, you know, how it affected his life and why he is who he is today because his mother was a strong woman. So, you know, I believe everyone has at least one book in them. And so you're right. They may not be saying the right thing on social media, but they have something that they could contribute to the world that can help somebody else.
I feel you.
Hey, yeah,
no,
Pat.
I do.
Yeah.
That's real. I do want to get down to the nitty gritty.
All right.
So let's get down to what the people really want to hear, what they really, really care about.
Hey, what is that?
All of the dimes and jewels and gold nuggets you've been dropping all show, people, they not even picking that up, even though they should, because she's been dropping some major knowledge on y'all. But I know what y'all want, and I'm going to ask right now. Oh, Joe. While I stall out and create more attention, you know the little man in the black shirt. He should have been giving her several rounds of applause during what she just did. That was beautiful.
He coming. His shirt.
Oh, okay.
Issue.
All right. So after we just did the commercial break and the promo. Now, how do you become a bestseller?
All right, that's what everyone want to know. Okay. The secret to bestseller success. Well, you know what? There are a lot of ways you could become a bestseller, but the way that I tell people is you strategize. And with anything, I believe you could, strategize to do anything. But with this particular technique, you need to have people on the same page as you working as a team, because guess what? Teamwork make the dream work, right? And you have as many people as possible promoting your book at the same time on the same day as possible. And so that's the quick and easy, fast way without giving all of my secrets. But, yeah, you just want to have people with large lists send out, email or e-blast to their list, have several people that have a huge following or huge influence, share it with their people on social media, and really get it out to the masses. But it needs to be within a certain amount of time. And I remember, Dr. Willie Dolly actually endorsed my book. He was one of the people that put an endorsement on it. And he said, I asked him, I said, well, can you send out an email to your people, when my book comes out, so that letting them know that my book is, going to be my ebook out this particular day. And he said, not only will I send out email, but I'll also give a free gift to people who go out and purchase it. And I was like, wow, okay. And so, again, you just never know who's willing to do something for you. But if you're too scared to ask people that are, high influence, and, that's where I'll say, I will, write the foreword for one of your books. And so, again, when you connect with these people, ask them. Most of them don't have a problem. They would love to help more authors and speakers get out there to the world. And so, I tell people there's a lot of people that will promote you, but you have to practice Matthew 7:7. Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be open unto you. So how many people are you willing to ask to be a part of your bestseller book promotion?
Well, folks, there you have it. You got to want it. You have to be, you got to be able to build a team, open your mouth, and ask people to help you to become a bestseller.
Yep, because like she said, teamwork make the dream work, and you need to get your network to make their hands twerk so that the audience will put in work to make your
foot work.
In the fat shirt hit the button so the crowd will go, yeah.
Hold on.
Album dropping. Come on, Joe.
Let me find the man. There you go. There you go. He showed up. He had issues.
All right. That was dope. Especially the part about asking, because that's something that we've learned even with this show. Is that, when we first started, we were a little bit nervous about going after certain guests, certain people, and other people was so big, we just never even thought about it. But then we just started asking people. And we get told yes quite a lot. So, just start asking.
That's right. Ask as many people as possible to help you. And they'll do it.
That's good. So, in addition to being a number one best-selling author and helping other authors become number one best-selling authors, you are also an international inspirational speaker. So, the public speaking realm is another realm that you are doing well in. So, is public speaking something that came naturally to you? And how were you able to become an award-winning international speaker? How did that all happen?
Well, you know, I'm going to say, I can say it came naturally, because even when I was younger, you know, I would do recite poetry, you know, be in plays at the library, always, you know, Black History Month. You know, I would volunteer for things like that when I was younger. And then even when I was in the military, I had to teach and train a lot of classes to, like, hundreds and thousands of people. So I've never been, some people say that public speaking is some of people's worst fears. Well, I've never been afraid of public speaking. However, I do believe you have to hone in on your skills. So even though I've always been ready to speak and, you know, be ready to share my voice, I've always said, you know what, let me read the books that's going to help me with better speaking. Let me go to the workshops and go to the classes. And, you know, that's how I, you know, initially met, you know, Les Brown, going to one of his workshops. Actually, I've gone to several of his workshops and teaching people how to be a better speaker. And so, you know, anytime I'm available that I can go to people that are doing what I want to do, I go to their workshops, I go to their training. I went to one gentleman, his name is JT Fox. I had never heard of him before last year, and he had a workshop called Speak to Make Millions, and it was phenomenal. And it's like, always, you know, I'm have this, you know, philosophy, always be learning, you know, learn from people who are where you want to be. And so even though I've always felt like I have, you know, speaking came naturally, I think going to the training, reading the books, that has helped me excel in it. You're willing to get, you know, constructive criticism and productive, you know, feedback. I just spoke at an event recently in D.C., and I had someone that, you know, he teaches and trained on speaking, and I, you know, said, can you, you know, ask him, can you critique me to see if there's anything that I need to change or anything I need to improve upon, because I know there's always room for improvement, and I don't have a problem with improving on what I need to do to hone in on my skills. And so the international piece came where, you know, I've done some speaking engagements in the Bahamas, but I was working with a company, Jabez Books, with Dr. Shirley Clark, and she used to do a tour called the Pray and Grow Richer Tour, and I used to speak with her on tour, and I used to work for her publishing company. I was the director of marketing for her publishing company a few years back, and when I was working with her, she said, you know, I'm speaking at an event, you know, in the Netherlands, and I want you to go with me, and you could be a speaker there. And I was like, wow, okay. This is absolutely amazing. I mean, the Bahamas is okay, but to me, that, you know, the Netherlands was international. And so that was my first international speaking engagement that really just kind of made a huge difference, and just connecting with, it was like a whole other world while I was over there, you know, people learning, you know, people that spoke, you know, multiple languages. I think people in America, we're the only ones that don't speak multiple languages. But, you know, and so that, you know, encouraged me to say, you know what, I need to learn how to speak another language. We had an interpreter there that interpreted. That was the first time I've ever worked with an interpreter where I had to speak slower, because I usually speak, you know, fast. So I learned a lot speaking internationally. I really did. It was like a journey for me, and I thank God for that initial opportunity. And just even award-winning, it was weird, because when my book first came out, I started getting awards right away for speaking, and you know, I started getting a lot of speaking engagements. So when people say, well, how do you get a lot of speaking engagements? I say, you know what, my book opened up a lot of doors for people inviting me to speak at their event. And back then, I didn't understand the business of speaking, and, you know, I was speaking, doing a lot of speaking for free as long as I could sell my books. And, you know, I started getting all these awards. I mean, like the first 2 or 3 years I started speaking, I was like, I didn't know what that was about, but, you know, I guess people enjoyed what I had to say, and a lot of it too, people said, because I motivated so many people on social media. And so when people tell me, oh, social media is breaking up marriages and social media is bad and, you know, people have negative, I say, well, it's just like money. Some people say money is evil. Well, the Bible doesn't say money is evil. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. And so it's what you do with it. The person is he doing good with the money and giving a charitable donation and saving lives, or is he doing bad with it and gambling and, you know, selling, I mean, you know, buying drugs and doing, you know, things that can hurt you? Same thing with social media. Social media is just a tool. The person that's using it can make it good or bad. So
yes,
I don't blame anything negative on social media. I blame it on the person that doesn't know how to use it effectively to help people, where I know I've used it to help change lives. And so because I've been so positive on social media, I think that's where a lot of people gave me the awards for the positivity on social media.
Okay. Still, one of the main things she's saying is you still have to be willing to put work in and humble yourself to learn, not thinking that you know everything, but being willing to learn and put yourself around people who are doing what you are doing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes.
Cool.
And be around them so much that you're memorable, you know?
Right.
And, you
right.
know, when I go into, you know, even when I met Les Brown, I didn't just, oh, let me just attend his workshop. No, I gave him, you know, copies of my books and, you know, just really you know, try to do what I can to glean as much from him as can. I was memorable. I didn't, you know, there were other people there with books and products and T-shirts, and they didn't, you know, give him copies of their, you know, stuff. Whenever I try to meet someone that I want to be memorable to, I bless them with copies of my books and, you know, autographed copies of my books. And so I remember about maybe 6 months later, and he was coming to the D.C. area where I was living at the time, and another speaker friend that goes to my church said, "Do you know Les?" You know, he was picking them up from the airport. He said, "Do you know Les Brown is walking around with copies of your books in his hand?" I was like, "Oh, that's awesome!"
Mm-hmm.
So he's reading them, and they're changing his lives. And that was, you know, that was 6 months, or maybe almost even a year later. And you know, he probably didn't know that guy even knew me, that guy was going to tell me. But he, you know, people, it's like, it's just giving, you know, give. You may not always need to sell your books, but sometimes you need to sell them and give them away to influential people so that you can be memorable.
I do definitely think that that's something that people need to definitely think about in terms of marketing any of their products. What you just said, I've never heard anybody put it like that, where, you know, don't sell but sow. But, you know, definitely think about the idea of gifting your product to people that can put your product in front of a whole lot of other people. Are people that, you know, just got a big mouth and they're going to use
it. Right. Right. No, true. No, you absolutely right. And I've had people say, "Well, why would you give that person a book they can afford to buy it?" And it's like, you don't even understand the concept. It has nothing to do with them being able to afford to buy it. You know what I mean? Those are the people that are life changers. They have influence. Like you said, they may have a big mind. I remember a PR lady, I was at an event, and I was, you know, looking at having her rep me as PR. And she was like, "Put me a package together." And I was like, "What?" "Put me a package together of what you have to offer that you want me to give to the world, you know, that PR, because I need to see what, you know, what, if I would want to even represent you." And thank God I had everything in my car. I went to my vehicle at that event, and I'll never forget, and I put together the nicest, I had a really nice package and everything already, you know, in my SUV, in the back of my SUV. And so I had my book, my bookmarks, a really nice T-shirt, really nice tote bag. And she actually even put it on her social media page. She said, "I don't even do that for everyone." She said, "You put together a great package." And she said, "I'm glad you didn't think just because, you know, I wasn't purchasing it or it was going to be for free. You didn't just give me the book. You didn't just throw something in there. You didn't, you know, even the bag itself was nice. And that was very thoughtful how you put it together." And because of that, like I said, she shared it on social media. And so we do have to think about people who have influence and, you know, whether they can buy it or not. If they can get your book out to the world, sow it.
Yes.
Word is born. Hey, so you spoke about some of your issues, some of the challenges you faced earlier. You know, when you spoke about, and I'm sure that, you know, you've gone through a lot of challenges in your life. And
uh-huh.
I'm sure that there are a lot of people who are going through challenges. You know, everybody has their own hurdles in life. What gave you the oomph that a lot of people can't seem to find in terms of being able to move past those challenges?
I would say a combination of things. I say one of the things I talked about earlier was surrounding yourself with, like, positive people and people that are where you want to go. And so sometimes when I find myself in a situation, I need to either watch something on YouTube or before YouTube, you know, get a book of someone that's where I want to go that's saying, you know, you can do it. And Dr. Willie Jolly has a great book, A Setback is a Setup for a Comeback. You know, and so I would surround myself with things like that. Like after my last car accident, it was like days I was just, you know, actually last two or three car accidents, I was in a bed and I was in so much pain, I didn't even want to move. But I had to, you know, listen to positive people, listen to E.T. Eric Thomas, one of my favorite motivational speakers. I would listen to some of his videos over and over and over, and, you know, I had to listen to some of the people that I know, that some of my mentors, and just kind of remember some of the things that they said to me. And so I would say putting positive, surrounding yourself with positivity. Like if you got to get that YouTube video out, whoever inspires you, you know, whether it's a pastor, you know, some of my pastor's videos, I would listen to some of his CDs, or, you know, just whatever it is that inspires you, you have to start spending more time doing that. Don't watch, what I say, CNN, continuously negative news. People, when they're going through a slump, turn the TV off, turn the news off. You know, if you got to listen to some positivity in the Bible, I would say scriptures. Calling someone to say, can you pray for me? Because, again, people don't have osmosis. They don't know what's going on with you. So you may just need to send a text message or call someone that you know is a prayer warrior. So not somebody that's going to spread gossip. Not someone that's just going to say, okay. But someone that you know that's willing to stop whatever they're doing and pray with you to encourage you, and someone that may give you some inspiring scriptures. I know one scripture, my favorite scripture, that has really taken me over the top, and I say it on a regular basis. And anytime somebody tells me they can't do something, I say in Philippians 4:13, it says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And so that scripture, when I'm down or when I'm trying to overcome challenges, the word of God, when I had health challenges, I say, well, you know what? Isaiah 53:5 says, you know, you were wounded for my transgressions, you were bruised for my iniquities. By your stripes, I am healed. And so the word of God has gotten me through and over a lot of challenges. But before I knew the word of God, I had to call people to pray with and for me. Before I knew the word of God, like I know it now, you know, I had to surround myself with positivity, positive books or positive messages, you know, CDs, affirmations, words of affirmations, just anything that I knew that could help me get over that slump, because I had to make a determination in myself that I can't stay down too long, because it's wasting precious time that God needs me to be productive to help somebody else.
Yes, ma'am.
Little man in the fat shirt.
Hey, it's a fat man and the look. Man, you're going to get his.
I get his name right when he starts asking his name.
There you go. You got to let him know. There you go. You got to write down all the times Pat specifically wants. You're going to stop talking to my homeboy.
Look,
like
it'd be whenever anybody say something that people are going to be moved by.
You're going to stop talking to my friend like that.
Well, you know what? Your friend needs to stop digging in his nose and get his hands out his butt and tell the audience to applaud.
Hey, look here, man. Hey, so, forget you. Not just playing, but Miss Melanie, as far as the limelight, you're no stranger to that. You've been blessed to be featured via various media outlets, from CBS to top 40 women motivators on social media. So you've seen a range of success. I would like to know, and we would like to know, how do you specifically, personally for you, how do you define success? And what has been your most successful moment thus far, and why has that been your successful moment?
Okay, I define success as really obeying God and pleasing God. In the end, I want him to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. And in the Bible, and I don't want to turn this into a sermon, but in Joshua 1 and 8, he says, if you meditate on my word both day and night, then you will have good success. And I find when I meditate and I meditate on his word, he gives me all these witty ideas and inventions. And so success is, to me, is pleasing God and obeying him and doing what he calls me to do. And when another God-given invention comes to fruition, I'm excited because I know it's going to help people. And so my most successful moment, I would say, is that when someone told me that the God-given idea of releasing my first and second book, Daily Dose of Determination and Daily Dose of Decisions, when they told me that reading it one in the morning and reading the other at night got them out of a suicidal situation and kept them from committing suicide got them out of a depression, that was one of the most successful moments for me, that I know that because I obeyed God, it saved someone's life.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, and I wanted to ask that because being that you are somebody who others do look up to, I want people to kind of understand or get a different perspective, I should say, on success and what success is, because I know everybody needs to define success different for themselves, but at the same time, being able to see success and hear success articulated from somebody who is in the position that you are, I think is also important and inspirational as well for up-and-coming people within the realm of whatever they're doing in life, just to really kind of wrap their minds around what they can do and knowing that they shouldn't limit themselves. Because one of the things that you've been talking about all day is not limiting yourself, but also surrounding yourself around the best people that you can and being aggressive and going after what you want, not being afraid. Yeah, you might be a little timid and you might even get told no, but not being afraid to go after what you want. And I think that's great information that our people need to know, and it's from a great perspective as well.
Absolutely.
So one more question before we kind of get to our last question.
Okay.
For our aspiring authors, entrepreneurs, and other people who are chasing their dreams, what tips would you give these people to help them believe in themselves and not necessarily give up on their dreams, even if they are going through hard times?
One of the tips I would tell them is to have faith and do the work, because faith without works is dead.
Okay.
So faith is a component that you still have to, like you say, when you're having challenges and you have to overcome, because faith looks at the unseen. So faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So when you're going through challenges, you have to look at the end result. You have to look at where you want to be, not where you are now. So if you have enough faith to press through the process, then you can get to your desired outcome.
Okay.
Then I also add do the work, because I know a lot of people that have a lot of faith, but they're not doing the work. Oh, I just prayed and it's going to happen. No, you got to do the work that goes along with the faith. So, you know, to me, it's a two-part journey. You can't just have faith and you can't just do the work, because you could just do the work and obstacles are going to come up against you, and you're not going to know how to handle them if you don't have the faith to keep pressing through the process.
That's true. That is true. You got to have that in you. You have to know that this is for you and press forward and not give up on it, because you've been given this talent, you've been given this desire for a reason. Might as well keep going to figure out what you're here for. That's what I think.
Right.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you heard what she said, Joe? Faith without works is dead. You can't just believe and think it's going to happen. You got to actually do something.
Right. Now, that's one of the – but honestly, though, that's one thing that I think a lot of people have to really come to grips with is your part has to be done as well. You do have to make those moves. You do have to initiate the action and put forth the energy, because if not, I mean, it's not going to happen, because it starts with you. It really does.
Right. I agree.
I like the story. I heard this one kid, somewhere I heard the story. I can't even remember. But I remember it because I was a runner. I still am a runner. Well, I try to be when my legs decide they want to act right. Anyway, that's not the point.
Believe me, I understand. I used to run the Army 10-miler every year, but that's another journey. And, yes, until they diagnosed me with some stuff going on my knees. But, yes, go ahead.
Right. See, we there. So,
I got you.
But you know, the kid, you know, he was, the person was telling the story about how they were in a race and they just felt like they couldn't do it anymore. Like they physically felt like they just could not accomplish the act of running any longer. And so they said they made a deal with God. And they said they started praying, if you pick them up, I'll put them down. You know, if you pick them up, I'll put them down. If you pick them up, I'll put them down. And so he was saying, as he was saying this in his mind, he started actually running faster. And he started passing by runner after runner after runner until eventually he won the race. And I like to think of that every time somebody says, you know, faith without works is dead. You know, it wasn't like the person was telling God to run for them. It wasn't like God was telling, you know, like it was a mutual exchange. You know, if you do this, I'll do this. You do this, I'll do this. Even the Bible's, you know, you take one step towards me, I'll take two steps towards you. You know, you got to do something. So I love it when I hear people say that, because you do hear that very often where people are like, you know, I need a new job. Well, have you applied for any new jobs? Have you done any?
Right.
No, I just prayed for it, and God going to send it to me. I don't think God works like that, but I could be wrong. I don't, you know.
I haven't seen that, but you know.
No, but you're right, and you're right. And when you talk about if and then, most people don't even realize it's a lot of if and then statements in the Bible just like that. If you do this, then you will have this. If you do this, if you delight yourself in me, then you will have the desires of your heart. If you, so you're right. It's, God gives us some action steps. We have to. It was a lot of people. He gave them action steps before they could even be healed. If you put this mud on your eye, if you dip into this body of water, if you lift them, you know, there was always an action associated with someone being healed in the Bible.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. So, like we are saying, the continuous theme. It starts with you. If you want to be successful, it starts with you. And if you make the necessary steps and you ask the right questions and you connect, it will happen for you. But it starts with you. So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right, so we got to the point of the show where this is Patrick's favorite question. So Patrick,
okay.
As you can see from this conversation, he looked different. So
I'm special.
He got kicked out of class a lot.
I did.
So we're going to set this question up a little like this, and we'll make it clear.
So if you were the ruler, grand vizier, all-powerful of Black America, what would you change, and what would your message to the people be?
Okay. Can I have two things that I would change? No, okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
So what I would change is I would make it a requirement for everyone when they graduate from high school to spend a minimum of 1 year in the military and 1 year in network marketing. And I will say the reason behind that is because those were the two most powerful entities outside of, you know, knowing God and, you know, the church and my relationship with God. Those two entities changed the course of my life. They taught me discipline. They taught me organizational skills. They taught me teamwork, camaraderie. I mean, skills, leadership skills that most people don't learn or know. I can usually spot a military person a mile away from their demeanor, from their actions, from what they do, from their discipline. you know, even my pastor said he loves the military because we just do things differently. And, you know, when we taught most of, I'm not going to say 100% of people, but we just taught to do things differently. And I remember when I used to be out there, like, dating, it's like I would only date guys that were in the military because they had a certain, again, discipline behind them. They understood, you know, and every now and then you get some sport people that play sports that learn the same, you know, type of camaraderie and training and things, but it's very rare because there's still some things that you learn in the military and you know, even in network marketing that you don't learn as a part of a sports team. And so I would say those are two things I would definitely implement. You need to go in the military for 1 year or longer if you had to, and you need to. And some colleges actually implement that, which I didn't know that. Well, not in the military, but they make you go to our 1 year of ROTC at their college. I know University of Arkansas Pine Bluff does, and I think that's a great thing that you have to do. And my message would be your daily decisions and discipline determine your destiny.
Say that again, please.
Your daily decisions and discipline determines your destiny.
All right. All right. And I just wanted you to say that so people can feel it in their chest.
Okay. All so right. Why you ain't had a little man in the fat shirt? The fat man in the little shirt.
Pat, you better leave me and my friend alone when we see you, Pat. When we see you, okay?
You know,
oh, my goodness.
We have never had anybody give that answer out of the roughly 50 or 60 answers we have on record. Actually, we got more than that on record. We've never had that answer given. And I meet both those requirements because I did 6 years in the Air Force and I did 4 years in a network marketing organization. Booyah.
Okay, so you got a little discipline going on. Okay. Look.
I act retarded on the show, but I'm not retarded in real life. This is
Let me say this, though. I do think the Air Force is a little different, and I'm not going to say it.
Here you go.
I was in the United States Army for 7 years. I do think they all learn discipline, but I think y'all basic training is probably more like a walk in the park compared to the Army, the Air Force, and the Marine.
Our basic training is what it needs to be. We're thinking.
Y'all in San Antonio, Texas, chilling. Y'all, I mean, come on, okay.
No. Basic, what? Look, Texas get hot, first off.
You're right, I agree. Texas is hot. You're right, Texas
I give it to you, though. I already had discipline before I went in. You know, basic training story. My flight is still famous at basic training because we had 15 guys get washed back. For those of you that don't know, that means that they get sent back a couple weeks in basic training. They got sent back because they got caught having a circle jerk in the barracks. I was not a part of it. They were doing that. It was like 20 guys. 15 of them got sent back because they got caught having a circle jerk. We were 2 weeks away from graduation. And they got sent back 4 weeks.
Wow. That's different.
Yeah.
That is different. Well, I can maybe I need to have a different look on the Air Force, but I
would have.
Because I didn't know anybody got sent back for anything because it just seems like I'm not going to say a piece of cake, but I know.
There was a lot of guys get sent. Getting sent back was almost like we had like 3 guys get sent back into our flight. They ended up being there for like 4 weeks or like not 4 weeks extra because one of the guys got sent back another 2 weeks. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this real quick. When you were in the Air Force for your PT test, did y'all have to ride the bike or did you run?
Oh, no, we had to run. You got the waiver people.
Okay.
You can get a waiver.
There was a season when they had for the PT test, they had them ride the exercise bike. And I'm like, first of all, if you out in the woods and you're running away from the enemy or you're chasing the enemy, you're not going to have an exercise bike that's in the gym trying to chase the enemy. So the Air Force, I don't know, they plane, you know, go down. You know, that C-130. I'm like, wait a minute, if that C-130 go down and they on the land, how they going to survive?
Yeah, that's special. Well, after I got out of the military, I found out that the PT test, we had to do a 2-mile run. Now they have them doing a mile and a half, and I think somebody said they had even reduced it further to a mile. But we did have a lot of people getting shaving waivers and using their shaving waivers to get out of doing their PT test. I don't know how that works because I was never able to figure it out.
It's the Air Force, I'm telling you. Only the
That's funny.
You know, you're not fixing
to be. I used to call it the Chair Force. I did.
I call it the Chair Force. But we also say we're smart, and that's our role, is to be smart. Our role is not to be smart. So
well, you know what? In the Army, we're both. I believe we're smart and intelligent
You know, that's a perfect time for the little man in the shirt to talk on that.
Right now, that is not a good time for that. Because the Army is, y'all are basically smarter sandbags. So y'all are smarter than the Marines, but y'all are still sandbags. We're the smart ones.
No, because you know what? I guess it depends on who you are, because I was a little different. So I was always a leader in the Army, and I was actually an officer. I went from enlisted to being an officer program. They diagnosed me with all the RAs in both my knees. So I was definitely smarter than the average Army soldier. So, I mean, I could have excelled in any branch, to be honest with you, because I'm just that good. But not to say I'm arrogant, but confident in my ability.
Confident.
Right, just confident in my ability to not only be wise and use wisdom and be smart, but then also to be able to physically be an overcomer. Because, again, I do think in every area of our lives we need to excel, not only spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and psychologically, just, you know, all these areas in our lives where we need to be proficient, but we also do need to be proficient physically, because a lot of people don't know how to endure mentally, but then also you got to be able to endure physically. And that's where I think, again, that not only that mental toughness and basic training, the 8 weeks we went through the Army, you know, I had 3 aunts that retired from the Army before I ever even thought about going in, and most of my family's Army. My daughter's actually 6th generation Army. And so I was mentally prepared before I went in. I knew that there were some things that I was going to have to overcome, because my aunt said, look, it's a game. That 8 weeks, just get through the 8 weeks. Do a countdown, do whatever you have to do, but it's a mental game. So I was already prepared mentally. I was prepared physically, so to speak. Because after I had my daughter, you know, even though I had her at 16, I started working out and started. People think because you're skinny, you're not in shape, and that is so far from the truth. I learned that in the military. I was like, okay, that was like an awakening for me. And they used to, you know, yell at us and fuss at us, saying, you know, people pay a lot of money for a personal trainer, but we get it for free. And they were right. People do pay a lot of money for personal trainers, and we were getting, like, physically fit for free.
Right.
So I think, you know, and that's why I asked you about the running opposed to the bicycle, because I think the physical piece was just a part of the process and, you know, growing and helping people change their mindset. And I think it's a mindset and it's a mentality. Even when you're talking about network marketing, you have to have some mental toughness in order to reach a certain position in network marketing. And so, you know, if you just go in and 2 weeks later you quit and say, oh, this didn't work for me, then you're not mentally tough enough to even endure. You know, network marketing, most companies you know, they have you, you know, read books and do personal development. And so, I mean, you have to know how to develop a team, because it's not just about you in network marketing. Your income is in most companies, you need to be able to not only develop a team, but properly lead a team.
No, I'm with you.
Yeah, and that's why I say, you know, the military and network marketing are two entities I think people should go in, because I think it helps you develop mentally, you know, mental toughness, military definitely physically. You're developing a lot of areas that most people normally just do not develop. And so I've worked with most branches. You know, even after I got out of the military, I worked for the Department of Defense. I worked for the government for 1 year, then I contracted for government for 14 years before I became free. Glory to God. I haven't worked a job in over 3 years. Hallelujah. And so, you know, before then, I was a contract for the government. So I worked for the Department of the Army. I worked for the Department of the Navy. I worked at the Pentagon. And I observed the different branches from, you know, the lowest rank to, you know, E1 to to the enlisted ranks, to the officer ranks, to, you know, I've rubbed shoulders with 3-star and 4-star generals at the Pentagon. So, you know, I've observed just different things that just, like, if I saw someone that said they were in the military and if they were a certain weight or a certain size, I'm like, okay, they got to be Navy. Because, you know, the Navy weight standards were just different than most of the branches. So I usually could tell if someone was in the military what branch they were in by their conversation or by, you know, their demeanor or there are certain things they said or they did, because the branches are all different. But at the same time, they complement each other, the land, sea, and air. And so I appreciate every veteran. I want to say that before we get off this call. So thank you for your service. I greatly appreciate it. But, yeah, I do appreciate every veteran, anyone who has served any amount of time in the United States military in any branch.
No, I feel you, and I understand. I mean, like I said, our PT standards were good. We were fit. I definitely left basic training rock solid. you know, and I went to a Marine basic training graduation, and we saw a whole bunch of fat boys there that was graduating, and I just didn't understand it. I was completely thrown by it.
I
get it.
Oh, I'm surprised too. And Marines, what year was this? You went to a Marine graduation, there was some fat boys. I'm shocked about that myself. Okay.
This was maybe about two or three years ago, because my brother-in-law was graduating from the Marine basic.
Well, you know, a lot of things have changed though too. You know, they have different standards than they did 15, 20. I don't know what year. What year? How long ago did you go in the military?
I got out in 2006, 2007, 2008, 2009.
Okay. So I think a lot of things have changed in the military too. They're not allowed to do certain things in basic training and some of the things that they did before that instilled more discipline in the, you know, the soldiers or the airmen or the seamen, you know, the people that participated. So the drill sergeants have, to me, it's a little tougher for them because now they're not able to implement certain things like they were, you know, 10, 20, 30 years ago. So, you know, so maybe that's why the standards were a little different in the past 2 or 3 years when you went to the graduation. But all right, I know. I know enough. I know you don't want to hear all about the military.
But no, we good. We do got to wrap the show up, and Joe is going to jump in and do that. But we also both got books coming out, and we also both do speaking engagements and stuff like that. So I do think we also both will remain in contact with you.
Yes, yes, you know.
Oh, okay. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Definitely. On your books coming out and your speaking engagements, and I do want to put this plug in real quick. Anyone that is an author or have a book coming out or an aspiring author or anyone that wants to get more speaking engagements or want to do TED Talks or anything like that, definitely join my Six-Figure Author Mastermind group. They can go to Facebook and look up Six-Figure Author Mastermind. And it will show them how they could join the group. I share book signing opportunities, speaking engagement opportunities, author reward opportunities, all kinds of things to help authors, and it's less than $1 a day that will change the course of your life.
That's great. And say the name of that group again, please.
Six-Figure Author Mastermind.
Okay. And what other means can people get in touch with you? Like, what are your website and your social media handles so people can contact you if need be?
Oh, absolutely. MelanieBonita.com. That's MelanieBonita. They can go to MelanieBonita.com on my website. My email address is ask@MelanieBonita.com. They can go to social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, any of those. It's Melanie B Speaks. That's Melanie, M-E-L-A-N-I-E, B as in billionaire, Speaks, S-P-E-A-K-S. And that is my social media handle for everything, for LinkedIn, for Instagram, for Twitter, Facebook, everything. And
yes,
so that's
ma'am.
Where they could find me at Melanie B. Speaks. If you want me to speak at one of your events, definitely go to my website. Definitely look forward to encouraging and inspiring your audience. And, yeah, whatever it is that I could do to help you get more determined, dedicated, and driven to achieve your dreams and help you sell more books and help you get your story out to the world, that's what I'm all about.
All right. Yes, ma'am. Well, once again, we definitely want to thank you for coming through. And we got to have our man in the little shirt give you that round of applause for you leave. Yes, ma'am. Mate, Pat, you feel good now. I hope you do. But thank you very much for coming on the show and giving all of the wonderful information that you've given people. And I'm sure our listeners have learned a lot from you. And one of the best things I'm sure they learned is you got to take action. It's when you take action, that's when God takes action. So definitely appreciate you and your information and your energy and your spirit. And we look forward to definitely having you back on the show in the future.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Yes,
I look forward to it.
Yes, ma'am. We'll see, talk to you later.
All right.
Miss Melanie Bonita. So make sure you visit her website. Make sure you go check out all her social media links and everything so you can be down with Miss Melanie Bonita and learn a lot more about her and the works that she do. So with that being said, I am Joseph Ward. He is Patrick Irvin. You got any parting shots, Pat?
Power to the people.
Power to the people. There it is. Hey, two fingers up like a player. Y'all know how we do. We out.